Okay, since I already alluded to lawyers, I have another lawyer in the studio. But this lawyer is a lady with a very interesting take on what it is she does. Her name is Heidi Webb, Heidi Webb of Divorce Consultations. Hey, first of all, nice to see you after all these years.
Wonderful to see you, and thanks for having me, Jordan.
Now, this is a weird night because my next hour, I've got a high school chum coming in who's cut his first country record. He's all excited, Wayne Watson. But you and I went to college together.
We absolutely did. Co-editors of the newspaper.
Oh, my gosh. Those were fun times, weren't they? Well, look, I'm still in the media. And you smartly got out of it and went into the law.
I don't know, but it's awfully good to see you, and it's fun to be
here. It's great to see you, too. Divorce consultations. And one would say, well, what's different about what you do? You're an attorney. But you add an element here that I thought would be interesting to bring to the audience. What is that?
Well, I think basically where psychology and law intersect is the field that I navigate or help people sort of see divorce through lenses that aren't always obvious when they're at a place where they're very often paralyzed or just sort of shocked that they're in a place they never expected to be when they entered a marriage, sometimes 5, sometimes 10, 20, 30 years prior. And a lot of water's passed over the proverbial dam, and they find themselves unable to make decisions and navigate waters that they haven't anticipated.
Well, you, in your own training, first went on to get a master's in what, social work counseling?
Education, actually, but in counseling, consulting, psychology.
All right. So you approach this. Obviously, you take care of all the legal stuff. That's important, obviously. But is it your sort of training that allows you to talk about some of the ramifications above and beyond what's happening here?
Well, what seemed to me and how I got into this is for many years I was a traditional lawyer, I was a litigator, but before I did begin my practice of law, I was a mediator, and later I became trained as a collaborative lawyer. So there were lots of different tools that I had when I was practicing. But it seemed to me that in many ways the system was broken, or people sort of got caught in a system that didn't meet their needs. So I sort of stepped back and asked myself, what was it that wasn't working? What was it that I could do that would be a contribution that was unique and different from the path that most people sort of got on as lawyers and therefore as clients when they were getting divorced? And I guess a couple things became clear to me. One was that the questions that generally are asked, okay, you want to get divorced, walk into a lawyer's office, you hire somebody who's been recommended or who seems like they're a good fit for you because you meet them and you like them. But there's not a lot of thought that goes into prioritizing your goals and a strategy of what might make sense for you in terms of the process or in terms of the outcome, what you want as your goals. So I start really asking people, where do you want to be 5 years from now? And we're going to work backwards. And it's a very different process from starting by filing a complaint, getting an answer, and sort of hopping on a train and not really realizing where it's going or what the stops
almost
might be.
Almost a life planning kind of.
Sort of. But sort of service. Navigating and starting with three avenues, I guess, the psychological, the financial, and the legal. And I'm not looking to be hired as the primary lawyer. And that's very different because I can remain objective. So when I meet with somebody at the beginning of this process, I'm more like a river guide. And I'm saying to people, let's talk about where this is going to go and how it's going to play out for you and for your husband, your wife, what it might look like from different perspectives. And we're going to try on those different hats and see how it might feel. And then you're going to interview 2, maybe 3, maybe 4 lawyers. And you're going to come back and we're going to process that. Okay. And that way we're going to put together a package that's going to be more successful for your whole family.
Because this is the emotional sort of chasm that everyone hears about. And then when they're into it, if they are sadly into it, it's like explosion time. Everything's happening at once, right?
Yeah.
It's. I mean, we all have. If thank God, I'm in a happy marriage. You are, but I mean, we all have friends or relatives who have been through this, and it's like, and you see the thing unravel in like days, and it becomes just horrendous, and that trauma remains. Not that it isn't going to be traumatic anyway, but. You're telling me that there are things that people can do to at least think through the process?
I think there are a lot of things. And I think the analogy I guess I sometimes use with people is imagine that you're going to take a trip to Italy and you didn't speak Italian. And there are lots of ways you can go. You can just book a flight and you can arrive in Rome and sort of start wandering around and see where you end up and see where you might sleep and see where you might eat. Or you could maybe hire a guide beforehand and say, I really want to get to the Colosseum or to the Pantheon. Or you could sort of highlight things that are important to you in this journey. And you could have someone who's native to that terrain and can really help you navigate where you're going. And I think it's a very different trip. It's a very different journey if you have a framework.
Mm. And again, we're talking with Heidi Webb. She's an attorney. She's also a counselor. And divorce consultations, it's a concept that's pretty unique to anything that I've heard. And the idea that you're going into this strange new world, whether you're the husband or the wife, doesn't matter. It's just so alien to people. Now, does it have to be, or obviously, I shouldn't say obviously to anything. Why do I say obviously when I don't know what the answer is? But what about the problem that exists with friction? I mean, if you've got a person, let's say a woman, who comes to you for some suggestions and guidance, but she's dealing with a divorce situation and they're not talking and the husband's mm-hmm. out to get her or vice versa. Yeah. I mean, all the stuff that you – how can you help her get through that battle easier?
Ideally, I meet with people before they're in battle. I meet with people when they want to plan this journey. So many times people will come to see me when they're thinking that just in a very preliminary way. Maybe a therapist has recommended they see me. Maybe a wealth manager has recommended they see me. But they're thinking that maybe this is something that's in their future, and they want to try to plan for it as best they can for their children, for their finances, for their business, whatever's involved in their life. They're trying to sort of get their ducks in order, as it were. So that's sort of the ideal time to meet with me.
Well, it's all about navigating that path, as we've been saying, divorce mm-hmm. consultation. And the idea that people take marriage rather lightly, it used to be the biggest moment of your life was getting married, and you would generally try to stay that way. And, of course, we all know that the statistics are pretty amazing. What are they now? They say 50%.
Well, yeah, they do say 50%, and that includes second and third marriages, and the statistics are, you know, depends who writes them, I suppose. But it's high.
Yeah. What do you notice from people coming to you over the years in terms of their pre-thought about divorce? I mean, do people have an image based on watching soap operas or just knowing what their friends went through, and is it the proper image? I mean,
I guess I'm fond of saying that people are required to know more when they get their driver's license than when they get their marriage license. And I mean it in all seriousness. People don't understand what a marriage is. They don't understand it's a legal contract. They don't understand the ramifications in terms of a state law. They don't understand what it means when you buy a house, what differences there are. They don't understand tax-wise what differences there are. There are a lot of things that people just have no foundation for. So when they get married, they don't really understand what that means. And therefore, when they get divorced, they're very surprised often that there are ongoing obligations, particularly when there are children involved. And, you know, if you have money and you have kids, when a judge tells you you're divorced, it's really not over. You have ongoing entanglements. And I often talk to people as well about there being a life before marriage, a life during marriage, and a life after marriage. Because a divorce is not a demarcation point when from then on you have nothing to do with that other person if you have anything sort of that lingers together.
Well, that's an excellent point, and it's a point that many people think they're never going to have to get to because, hey, I'm done with this person. We love our kids, and we'll be – there's so many issues that come into play. I've been reading your blog, by the way, and the website, which we'll give out tonight, is divorceconsultations.com. I'm reading your blog. So many issues that you blog about, everything from nature versus nurture, all that. I've read that one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, you know, the property rights, all these things that people have to consider. Let's take a break. When we come back, I'll talk further with you about the type of service you provide and the type of questions people have. And then we will take questions if anybody has them at 617-254-1030 or 888-929-1030. Divorce, it is a sticky, not a very pleasant issue. And not that Heidi's here to say it's an easy road, but at least you have somebody who's got all the expertise here and from an emotional as well as a practical point of view. We'll continue in a moment.
It's the Jordan Rich Show, keeping you company all night long. Call 617-254-1030.
We're talking about divorce, but it's not the typical discussion about two lawyers in a courtroom fighting it out and all the stuff that happens. It's about a lady here in studio with me who has really molded and created this unique approach. It's called Divorce Consultations, and Heidi Weber's her name. She's not only an attorney but also an experienced counselor with all the degrees to prove it. And you were saying during the break that in some cases you're not actually litigating the case, but you could be involved with a person or two people for weeks, months, years, helping them navigate through the minefields, and there are a lot of them, right?
There sure are, and I think it's, you know, everyone's needs are different, and some people come in, for example, with a prenuptial agreement, and I will read through the prenuptial agreement, and to me it will become apparent what are going to be challenges for my client or what are going to be strengths in the case and vice versa. And I'll be able to sort of distill it for somebody and for the lawyers who I'm referring it to. So from the get-go, when a client of mine walks into a lawyer's office, the lawyer has read a case synopsis from me describing what the pitfalls and what the challenges and what the strengths of a case are. So they're much clearer from the beginning because I've done a lot of issue spotting for them. And the client doesn't have to keep repeating his or her story. So, you know, from the beginning, there are ways that I bring clarity to a case. But there are times that a case sort of can go off the rails many times. You know, it's not a clear sort of path for people, and the sailing isn't always good, and things can get choppy, and sometimes things can get choppy between clients and lawyers because by virtue of the relationship, it's complicated. It's emotionally very taxing. And there are times that clients want to bail with a lawyer for good reasons, and there are times that they want to bail because they're just unhappy because of their own circumstances. And there are ways that I intervene sometimes to help them understand the dynamic and the transference that's going on between them to help everybody have clarity in the case and be more successful.
Have you ever had a situation where somebody came to you and then for one reason or another, maybe it was something you said or did, they decided divorce wasn't the way to go? Has that ever happened?
Well, people come to me when they're thinking about it and not clear, and okay. Certainly people have...
I mean, you're not a marriage counselor.
I'm not a marriage counselor. Many, many of my clients have been in marriage counseling before they see me, and there are times that they go after they see me. Mm. I mean, certainly when people come to see me and they see the numbers, sometimes it's pretty grim. Mm-hmm. Now, I remember a couple of years ago somebody saying to me, I don't care if I'm destitute at the end of this, I can't be married. That's one response to seeing numbers that are unsettling. Someone else could say, you know what, I'll work harder at this marriage. It's not worth it to me to live the way I'll have to live. Maybe we can salvage it. And that's absolutely a great outcome.
It has to be, for when children are involved, which they often are, it has to be, and I don't know any specific cases in my head, but it has to be one of the most grinding, difficult issues for anybody to deal with, that which you have created together and brought into the – so this has to be a big part of what you talk about.
Sure, sure. I mean, I think – I always say to people, you know, you can always divide money. I mean, that's easy. Children, yeah. Not so much. So a lot of what I want to do is protect children in the process. So how do you do that? If you give it thought beforehand, you can be a lot more successful by helping children with therapy if they need it, by even scripting, and I often script for parents what they're going to tell their children. Mm. Send parents for a session with a psychologist to develop how they're going to work together to do sort of a cooperative presentation to children. I mean, there are lots of ways that you can ease the process and let children feel, if not empowered, at least that they weren't hit over the head sort of with a ton of bricks.
Well, these are the kind of things that, again, people have a conception of it, and when they actually get there, it's as worse than they could ever imagine because it's then the emotions hit. We'll take another break in about 3 minutes for a bottom hour news update, but Heidi Webb is here, attorney and counselor. Let me ask you this. I've never been in a divorce court. I don't want to be. I don't think I ever will be. But do you warn people what they're up against when they're in court? People don't usually go to court.
Yep, it is. I think that's a great question. And, it's not the only way to get divorced. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. the third party in a marriage is the state, and people forget that. So, yes, a court ultimately is involved in every divorce. But litigation isn't the only path. Mediation and collaborative law are two other processes, and we can certainly talk about that if you'd like. Maybe after the break's mm-hmm. a better time to do it. But I do talk with people about the three different avenues, really. And each of them may or may not be appropriate for people, and they have to understand why before they make a choice. I mean, sometimes people will come in to me and say, you know, that they want to go through mediation. And after talking to me, I may think that's not a good path at all for them, and I may think it's very good.
Well, I do want to talk about some of those things, some of those options. But also, looking at the emotional toll that it takes, and you're probably the person most used to hearing that emotion early on.
Yeah.
And then the lawyers who actually do the litigation, I mean, that's a little more cut and dry. So we're focusing on divorce and why people get divorced. We know there are all kinds of reasons, but we're talking about how Heidi and her crew help people through this process. And it's an interesting thing. And you said you've been, you know, rewarded in terms of your own psyche with the sense that you're helping people. And even though you're, you know, helping people in a tough time.
Well, there's nothing like getting somebody from the most vulnerable point in their life to a stronger point.
So we'll take a break again for the bottom hour news from CBS, and then we'll come back. Our number will open up the lines if you'd like to chat about this, 617-254-1030 or 888-929-1030. It is 1231.
Late nights are better with a little help from The Jordan Rich Show. Join Jordan and his friends. Call 617-254-1030.
Later on, actually not too later on, in the 1 o'clock hour, I'm going to talk with two people who are making great music here in New England, and they call it country music, but it's really music of the heart, soul, and of this great country. And we'll talk with Wayne Watson, who's out there with his cowboy hat, and Kylie Evans is on her way in, too. And then later tonight, we'll take a look, as we often do with history, World War II and Operation Market Garden, and what the Americans did in that particular operation against the Nazis in September of 1944. Fascinating new book. Also, Dr. Helen Reese will join us. She is with Mass General Hospital, and she's teaching doctors and clinicians how to be empathetic. It's a great program. We'll share that with you, as well as Dr. Jim Rybacki, who's been here many, many times, the pharmacological and medical consultant, and Dr. MD, who will be answering your questions. And then another episode of Carlton's Corner with my friend Carlton Kendrick. He's got a great one with me that we're going to talk about called The Beauty of Spontaneity. But right now, we're talking about a tough subject, but made a little bit more shall we say, easy by the expertise of my guest, Heidi Webb. She's an attorney and a divorce consultant. She helps people through the process. Her mom, can I do a shout-out now? Your mother is a legend. She really is, Dr. Gertrude Webb. And let me let you tell the audience who she is. I mean, I know she's your mother, and I love her, but she's done something that's helped people all over the world.
She sure has. I mean, she was a woman who founded the first program for college-able dyslexics in the country. And it's been replicated many times over now. And she's still, at 95, is active and on a board called the Web Innovation Center for Dyslexia. And she continues to help people sort of see their strengths as well as their challenges.
She is a dynamic, wonderful lady. And I hello there, Dr. Webb. I know you're listening. And thank you so much for bringing Heidi here. That's really great. So back to what we're talking about, the journey. And as you say, if you begin it with a destination, you're more likely to get there. And it's such an overriding issue, divorce. What are some of the things that beyond the obvious, that people are going to face that they're not ready for, they're not thinking about?
Well, I think when people start the process, they're generally overwhelmed, whether or not it's their choice to leave the marriage or whether or not it's been thrust upon them. Either way, you know, oftentimes people feel guilty if it's their choice to leave, and they feel betrayed or incredibly hurt if it's not their choice. But anticipating sort of benchmarks along the way is not something that people generally can do. They just, it's terrain they haven't traveled. And how can you, if you haven't been there, know what they are? And although to a lawyer, typically, you know, there's a process, and legally there are ways that you can sort of, you know, sort of what's coming in terms of the court system, it's not intuitive, and it's not something that a client would know, and it's not emotionally accessible information. It sort of comes at people, and I can't tell you how many times, you know, people feel assaulted by the process. And like anything, when you have knowledge, you feel more empowered. So I feel with my clients that when they understand the process, even if litigation is the path that they decide is important for them to travel for a variety of reasons, when they know what to anticipate, it's less painful. Even though emotionally it is not ever going to be an easy journey, understanding that when you get served with a complaint, or that when someone's requesting interrogatories, things that sound terrible and cruel and awful, when you put them in the context and understand what the reasoning is for it, it doesn't have to feel that way. And so much of how we feel accounts for how we react to
something. Well, it's the whole nature of fear and anxiety. It's oftentimes not reality. It's what we're superimposing. And there's nothing more upsetting than the idea that your life is now changing radically, and you might not be living in your house, and you may have to split things and not see the kid. I mean, that's some pretty heavy stuff.
It's huge. And, you know, besides the facts that anyone outside sees, and by outside I mean somebody's lawyer, you know, everybody has their story, and generally their story, their personal story, and their spouse's personal story is not the same story. But everyone sort of writes it with themselves as the protagonist, as it were.
Right.
And the
right.
challenge for people is to see their spouse's story too. And when that happens, a lot of times I can see a light bulb go off in someone's head, and I can see that they, if not, it's not that they have to like it. They just have to understand it. And what I find is when people identify up front not only what they disagree about, but that there are things they actually agree about, even when they're very sad, even when they're very hurt or very angry, there are still points of agreement. And when they know what they are, they don't have to sort of posture for disagreeing the whole time when they realize that they can agree, and that they actually – it's like there's a story, sort of maybe helpful to sort of illustrate this, of two kids who are fighting over an orange. And I don't know if you've heard this story or not before, but they both wanted the orange. And this mom was really upset that these two kids were fighting over the orange. And she said to one of the children, you know, you already had an orange this morning. Your sister should have the orange this afternoon. And the argument was going on and on and on. And finally, she said to each of them, why do you want this orange so badly? And the son said he wanted the pulp inside. And the daughter said she actually wanted the outside. She wanted the rind for a project that she was working on at school. And the reality was that they could each both have the functional equivalent of the entire orange, but neither of them needed the whole one orange. One wanted the inside and one wanted the outside. Understanding that allowed that mom to give both children the whole. And a lot of times I think that's what I do, is I help people identify what their goals are. And sometimes they're surprised that their spouse and they have separate goals, or goals that we can actually help them both achieve.
Well, it's all about emotion, right? I mean, and the peak of it, and helps to have that sort of comforting, quiet, calm, resonant voice to not mediate in this case, but just lay out the story. Yeah. Everybody needs a storyline, don't they?
Yeah, everybody does need a storyline. But I think it's important for, even when I, you know, working with one person, sometimes people will say, you know, will you see my spouse as well? And the answer is no, because I'm not mediating. But I think when one person has, when I work with one person well, and they have perspective on both sides of the case is goes more smoothly because they're able to navigate both territories.
Mm. Can you answer me a question? I don't know about this, thank goodness, but what does no-fault divorce mean? And is it still in play? I mean, we always – I remember when that was a big deal years and years ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it used to be, it starts with, there's a long history of divorce. You know, if you go back to, you know, the church and, you know, right. religiously, you know, where divorce comes from is sort of interesting in and of itself. And why we even have this construct of it being in courts the way it is sort of a topic probably for another day. But it used to be that fault was required in order to get divorced. So adultery or imprisonment or alcoholism, there were reasons that people could file for divorce. But at some point that shifted and fault was no longer needed to be assigned to one party in order for divorce to be achieved. And now we have, we would call it Massachusetts, irretrievable breakdown of a marriage. And that's all you're saying to the court is that we're not blaming anybody here. We're not looking to sort of point the finger at either party. We're just saying that, that the marriage has...
Has that been, in your estimation, Heidi, and again, Heidi Webb, divorceconsultations.com, has that been a boon or has that been at times a stumbling block? Because it makes it appear on the surface to be, oh, a lot easier now to get divorced. I'm not saying that people who don't belong together shouldn't get divorced, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious in your estimation with all the experience you have in it.
Well, I mean, ever since I've been practicing, irretrievable breakdown has been a viable reason to get divorced. So in that sense, I guess I didn't...
Well, does it make it... Okay, when
is
someone
the bar,
says...
Is the bar lower?
The bar lower, number one. And also when you say, well, we have an irretrievable breakdown of relationship here, is that masking the fact that somebody's a wife beater?
Oh, well, possibly.
Yeah.
But I guess the answer is, you know, why do you need to assign blame? And I guess the reason generally is because somebody thinks there's an advantage in terms of the outcome, in terms of the settlement. I think that that's not typical, unless there is squandering of money or there's been abuse. Clearly, you know, if there's domestic violence or abuse of children or anything like that, we're talking about, you know,
a whole different ballgame. One thing that comes up a lot over the years, and I've done, you know, so many thousands of hours of shows on every topic, but one thing has come up, and that is the way, and Father's Day is this weekend, the way men are dealing with, custody rights and seeing the children in alimony. There's still a perception, at least, that men get the short end of the stick. How do you address that with men or women or both?
Yep, that's a great question. There's a new Alimony Reform Act in Massachusetts. It was effective March 1st of this year. And the father's rights movement actually is what it's sort of typically called in the business of divorce. And they were very instrumental in sort of working to have this legislation become reality. And I think it is a law that does give more parity in terms of gender. And in terms of equating sort of length of marriage, duration of marriage, and amount of money, it used to be that alimony was sort of, there was no end to it. People felt like they got married and they were sort of punished for life if they had to pay alimony. There was just sort of no end to it. And now there's a very structured paying system, not in terms of the amount, but in terms of the duration of a marriage. So if a marriage is 5 years or less, or 5 to 10 years, 10 to 15, 15 to 20, or more than 20 years, it falls into very discrete categories, and people know, and that's something that you can tell them, much like child support. There are guidelines, and you can punch out sort of what those numbers will look like. And I think when people understand that sort of a marriage is, it's an obligation to support a family more than my income or your income, it helps, even though no one ever likes
Again,
to
pay. These are topics that are so foreign to me, but also so scary to people when they're just at each other's throats. They're not even thinking about this stuff, and yeah, it's a shame, but that's somebody has to deal with it. Somebody has to do it, and that's obviously what you've marked as your goal here, to help people through the process. Let me take some phone calls. The guest is attorney Heidi Webb. She is the head of divorce consultations. And again, you're not going in there into the courtroom and fighting for one or the other, but you're helping people through the process. Let me go to Steve up in Maine. Steve, hello there.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Heidi. There is a stigma that kind of goes with saying you're divorced. I know. I get divorced in 1985, and my former wife didn't even have to go to court. There was no courtroom battle, and everything child support had been determined. And several had been in there, and because my attorney said simply, the judge would ask, why did you want the divorce? And said, we couldn't get along. And several, everybody was saying, and remember the judge said, doesn't anybody get along anymore?
But, the judges see a lot of that, I'm sure.
Yeah, so the thing of paying the child support and visiting, you know, the kids. They now they're 39 and 36, but they were just kids, you know. And
sure.
I gave them I paid the child support, plus I gave them each an allowance.
And I'm sure your relationship was preserved well because
Steve,
of a lot of what you did.
Let me ask you this. At the time, and again, you're just one example, but I appreciate it. At the time, Steve, in 85, even though it was something that you knew was coming, it must have just been a horrendous, confusing time for you, as it would be for anybody, right? I mean, did anybody sort of hold your hand and help tell you, here's what's going to happen?
No, I tried to read books about it and try to deal with it best I could, you know. And it kind of turned out to be kind of a friendly divorce. There was no battle or anything, you know. It was fortunate, I think, for my son and my daughter, you know.
Absolutely. I think that's paramount.
Yeah, and today, these days, it doesn't seem like, you know, like Jordan mentioned, the marriages don't seem to last. Like they used to, like my mother and father stayed married till they passed away. I didn't know what it was like to come from a broken home.
Yeah, I think, I think it's a question that I get not infrequently, and whether or not that's a cultural phenomenon more than anything having to do with how the courts phrase things. You know, I don't think that people go into a marriage sort of very aware of what the divorce statute says. So I don't think you can really blame the statute so much on how it impacts marriages.
Yeah.
Yeah, my former wife is a wonderful lady. She's married to her third husband now and happy, you know, and we stay out of each other's way. And I still keep contact with my son and my daughter, and I have two grandkids too that I'm proud of.
That's wonderful.
Well, it's like putting your life together after the blocks come tumbling down is what a lot of people have to do, and some people do it.
I remember David Letterman saying once that marriage. I did that once. I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of jokes about this too. Steve, thank you, my good man. Have a nice night. And what's interesting is, every single divorce, like every single marriage, different.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Unique to the
hundreds
core.
Hundreds and hundreds and, you know, no two are alike.
And one more thing before the break. You've mentioned, obviously, couples have been married 5, 10 years. Is there a marked difference when you're dealing with somebody who's been married 30, 40 years? Because that does happen. I mean, what is that like?
You know, it really depends on what the marriage has been like. I guess it brings me back many, many years ago. I probably did a marriage that at the time seemed to me like they'd been married in eternity. It was probably 34 years or something. And they came to the courthouse together and they left together. Mm. And, you know, I talked to her about it. She remained a client of mine for a number of years. And they'd been living like brother and sister for many, many years. They were fond of each other. There wasn't a lot of pain for either of them in that respect. I think they just wanted to get their affairs in order, and they thought that was a, you know, very sort of intelligent way to approach it. But, you know, for some people, clearly, it destroys them.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's tough at any point. It certainly is. All right, we'll take this break. We'll come right back. This is WBZ. My guest is attorney Heidi Webb. She's also a counselor, and she helps people through the process. Consulting them on what they're going to face when they come up against the D word, divorce. And sometimes there are alternatives to even going to court. Sometimes people decide to go to therapy after that, whatever. But it's the kind of help that you sometimes need. So we'll continue in a moment here on The Jordan Rich Show right after this short break.
Talk that will make you think. Conversation that inspires. It's right here on The Jordan Rich Show. Call Jordan at 617-254-1030.
Welcome back. My guest is Heidi Webb. She is an attorney and she is a counselor and a consultant. DivorceConsultations.com. We're talking about the subject of divorce. Before we take our next call, you wanted to just delineate something. There are alternatives to the court, to the trial process.
there are different processes in different ways to get to court, basically. And mm-hmm. I guess some people think that sort of an all-out battle or a war of the roses or something they've seen on television is the only sort of framework for divorce. And the other avenue people often have heard about is mediation. And mm-hmm. they're both viable avenues in some ways for some people. And there's another form of practice called collaborative practice, which involves both clients having lawyers and there being a fifth person in the room who is a coach or a neutral person who's usually a psychologist. And that person helps to sort of take the temperature, the emotional temperature of the room, and to try to diffuse some of the more sort of tense emotions during the process. And it can be very effective and a very good system for some people when there's a full financial disclosure and other things.
And again, you're advising some people to look at that when you're dealing with people.
Sometimes that's
effective. Let me go to at least one more call, maybe two. Jane in Boston, welcome to WBZ. And this is Jordan on with attorney Heidi Webb. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. This is a very informative night. Thank you so much for having Heidi on the video with you. And I have a question. She was talking about no fault divorce. And what if there is fault? How do you prove it? What if something's really, really wrong, that what your ex has done, and you don't have the money and you can't prove it, anything, and how are you judged then in court?
Well, I guess the question I would ask first is why are you trying to prove it? And I don't mean it, to be a cavalier question, but there are things that courts can do and things that courts can't do. And I think it's important to be clear that courts make legal judgments. They don't make moral judgments. And sometimes I say to people, this isn't a really important issue for therapy for you, but it may not be a really important issue to go to court. And if there is an advantage that you'll gain financially, for instance, by asserting and proving particular fault, that somebody squandered funds, that somebody's had an affair and spent money of the marriage on that affair, there may be very valid reasons to file for fault. But if there aren't, you have to ask yourself if that's the right forum.
And would you be able to advise somebody, hey, this is not really a good idea because you don't have enough to stand on here?
Yeah, or it may not be money well spent. Is that really, are you really going to get satisfaction at the end of this? Is that how you're going to grow best? Is this really going to be where you're going to be?
Jane, we don't have time, or certainly I don't want to pry by any means, but you're not alone. I'm sure there are a lot of people who are feeling exactly the same way. The idea that, are we going to just excuse what happened and I'm going to be half of this arrangement? That's kind of what the law.
Well, I mean, you have to have a catharsis through the process. It's just the courtroom may not be the best place to do that.
Mm.
And part of what I do is I help someone process that. And I'm not saying to dismiss it, and I'm not saying it's necessarily not a right thing to do, but you do have to ask
exactly.
that question.
It's something to explore. Jane, we have to run along. Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
And good
so
luck.
Much.
Good luck. And George, we have time for one more call. George in Malden. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, thank you for taking me. Just quickly, I have a very special and difficult situation. I would like to have your guest give me some advice. Basically, this: I married 5-6 years. My wife has some problems. She's very aggressive, abusive, and I think she's very also paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
I just suspect everything. Anyway, she doesn't want a divorce. Now, I have a special issue is, she kept all the money, assets, property in China.
Oh, so you're dealing with an international issue as well.
Yeah, I did consult two lawyers. All of them said that there's nothing that they can do, or the court will have no jurisdiction to find out. So in that case, and plus it's her fault, and I have some health problems. So she keeps harassing me. She keeps
We're a little tight on time here, George.
Yeah.
And Heidi, I don't expect you to give him a complete answer, but these situations do come up.
Sure. And I would say, George, that the most important thing would be to parse out the different pieces in advance and to try to understand. And it sounds like it's a very complicated situation, but the more that you can understand and figure out what you can do something about and the more that you can understand what probably isn't going to be an effective use of your time, the better able you'd be
to
address it.
What, one of the things you do, and people like you, is you say, here's the lawyer who specializes in this. Here's the person, man or woman, you should see, right?
Yeah.
That's part
of
the
deal. I have worked on international cases before. It's not that there is nothing that can be done.
Well, we wish you, George, we wish you well. We're totally out of time, but I'll tell you what, we'll give you the website here in a second if you want to follow up and learn more about this on Heidi's website, which is divorceconsultations.com. God, what a fast hour. Nice to see you.
Thank you for having me, Jordan. It was fabulous.
Little shout out to your friend over here, too. You want to mention her?
Absolutely. I'm here with Gina Cronin, who is my unparalleled paralegal.
Gina, you were so quiet and so lovely. Thank you. Thanks, Heidi. Great to see you, and best
to
your mom, too. We're going to come back in the next hour. We're going to talk country music, and we're going to talk with two New Englanders who are doing it really well. Be right back.